Welcome to the Jessica Pennelly Podcast. I am the female coach to empower your mind and teach you how to become confident in your body. Join me on this voice journey as I hold space for you to reconnect back to yourself. Welcome back to the Jessica Pennelly Podcast. We are up to episode 96, and I am so excited to bring you all this podcast episode. I have a guest on the podcast episode that I have been wanting to interview probably since I first started listening to her podcast, so 3 years ago. And yeah, here we are. I cannot wait to bring you this episode. It is packed full of goodies, and I know you're all going to love it. So without further ado, here we are. Hello, everyone. So as I said, I'm so excited to bring onto the podcast someone who is now not only my coach, but someone who I've looked up to for nearly 3 years now. And I'm not going to say too much because I want her to introduce herself, but she is a phenomenal woman who just has given me so much insight into not only business, but mindset and manifestation, which we're going to talk all about today. So I'm so excited to introduce Kimberly Wenya. Hello, Kimberly.
Hey, Jess. Oh my God, I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited that you are on the podcast. And just a fun fact for all my listeners, Kimberly is someone who I actually found her through her podcast, which I'm sure she'll tell you about. And I was like, I really one day want to interview this girl for the Jessica Pennelly podcast. And now here you are.
Oh my God. I love that story so much because, well, who would have known? You know, I'm so humbled always to hear something like that. And you manifested it, girl.
Oh my God. That was so exciting. So why don't you tell everyone a little bit of who you are? Who is Kimberly Wenya?
Sure. So my name is Kimberly Wenya. That's my first and my second name. And basically, I am a mindset and manifestation mentor. So I work with a group of women, well, many women who always are visionaries and they're looking to create a specific dream life that they desire. So we work with their mindsets. We look at the science behind manifestation. We look at the truth behind manifestation because we all know there is so much information out there on the web, on YouTube that is really confusing. And it's hard to know where you want to begin and it's hard to know what's correct, right? So we work on classical information, stuff that's going to be timeless, the true blueprint to actually creating your reality based on your mindset from inside to the outside. So yeah, that's pretty much just a little snippet of kind of what I do. But I started off doing all of this, practicing it whilst I was a student, studying full time, trying to start a business. And I realized that I was getting crazy results in my own life just by applying mindset tools and really diving into universal laws. So yeah.
Yes, I love that. So why don't you give us a rundown? I know the story, but I think it's such a good story of where you started because you were obviously in uni. But how did you start to learn about manifestation and law of attraction? And yeah, where did that all come from? Where did you start?
Yeah. Okay. So I remember the first time that I ever came across it was actually probably on YouTube. I was watching, you know, Lavender. So she's actually now one of my friends now, which is so funny, but she was doing law of attraction videos. And then I didn't think too much of it back then, but then I read a book called She Means Business by Carrie Green. And she talked about law of attraction inside there. And I was like, okay, this sounds really cool. Let me start to look into it. Now, in a nutshell, basically over the next couple of weeks, I started to say, okay, universe, let me learn more about this law of attraction thing. This sounds really cool. And eventually, I remember this one time I was on a train home from uni and my mom texts me and she says, hey, can you please help me bring this vase from the op shop?
Yeah, do I say vase or do I say vase?
I was like, just for all the Americans out there, babe. I was like, okay, yeah, mom, I can help you bring this vase/vase into the trunk. So, slash boot. Oh my God, there's so many different emergencies.
Yeah, there is.
But yeah, so basically I stopped at the op shop my mom was at and she loves doing flower arranging. So that's why she wanted this vase. And we put it into the car And then I'm like, Mom, can you wait a sec? I just want to have a look at the bookshelf. I don't know what in me did that, because I usually don't really go into op shops. It's like really like a really random thing. So I was like, okay, let me have a look. And as I'm tracing along the bookshelves, I see this gut health book. And at first, because back then I was building my business on health, but then I started to move into mindset, right? But next to that gut health book was the book called The Secret. Now, The Secret is probably a really, well, most people find out about manifestation through there because it's such a commercialized documentary / book. What we don't realize is that it's actually quite superficial. But back then, I didn't know. Back then, I was like, oh my gosh, this is the law of attraction at work. So I lost my head and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to buy it. So I bought it for $2, read it, started to learn more about it. But it was such a synchronicity in that moment, you know, that I was like, hey, there's got to be more than this. Now, fast forward, I started to realize that, yes, The Secret is only just literally a scratch of the surface. It's not like barely anything of what really allows us to create our realities. So then I just started to learn from different mentors. I started to go to different seminars, and I've just studied this, and I've applied my own science knowledge to this stuff too, because I have two science and bachelor degrees, which nobody really knows about, but it's actually how I got into all of this. So yeah, that's pretty much my story.
I love that. I love that. And I really agree on The Secret, because I was the same as you. That was one of the first, maybe it was the first law of attraction / manifestation book. And I guess with like going on years and building up my knowledge, you don't realize in the moment, like you said, how superficial it is. And it is just scratching the surface. And I think that's so important to note. So when you were, you know, getting into this and your manifestation journey, how did this start to time? Because as you've mentioned, you were studying. I remember listening to your podcast and you were studying at uni. And how did you begin your business, balance uni, but really decide, okay, like even though, because I'm similar and most of my OG podcast listeners, they'll know, like I went and I studied a business degree. So I have a business degree as well. Mm. But how did you make that decision to be like, okay, I've done this degree. I really did. It did serve me at some point, well, to do the studies, but I'm going to go all in and I'm going to start a business.
Yeah. Oh my God, Jess. It was so scary, because I remember I was setting myself up to become an osteopath. And I think I love that profession, and probably in another reality, I'm still an osteopath, but yeah. I just felt like there was something calling my name to doing something to do with mindset. I feel like what I realized was that I loved learning. I loved studying. I loved doing exams and getting good grades and doing well. But when it came to the actual clinical practice, I wasn't in love with it. So then I started to learn from Dr. DeMartini, and he's always saying, you know, make sure that you live a life aligned with your values. And that's when I realized, hang on a second, this clinical stuff actually isn't in alignment with my values, because everything in uni for 3 years is just learning from slides and learning about anatomy, which I absolutely loved. But then I realized, okay, I've got to take this into my own hands. If I really want to create my dream life, it has to be aligned with what I value. And my top value is personal development, meaning that if I want to create a life that I love, if I can create a job around personal development, then I can create a really abundant opportunity for myself. So it was a huge leap, because I also felt like I was putting down like so many years that I'd studied science down the drain, but really I've seen it come full circle now, because I'm starting to get a lot more into the science and I understand at a deeper level so much of the things that I'm hearing than what just maybe a normal person who hasn't really studied science might understand, right? So it was definitely a huge leap, but I think I always say to myself, you know, what's the best case scenario? And I give myself the best case scenario as my opportunity. And that's what I focused on when I made that big jump.
I think that's so important to note, because that's one thing too, is that I looked at is, you know, what are your values? And, you know, I started to do personal training, and then I've transitioned into female empowerment coach. And, you know, it's always coming back to like, what do you value in this moment? What is serving you? And I think for the most part though, a lot of what I know that clients that I've worked with, and I'm sure females that you've worked with as well, there's always that uncertainty that even though you feel like, okay, let's just take a 9-to-5 job, for example, you know, and I appreciate there are people, you know, nurses, lawyers, all of that, that love that job and want to do that job. But let's just say you're into a typical office 9-to-5, but you know deep down, okay, I really want to start my own business. I want to be this type of coach. There is a lot of the time, I think, in the society we are, I guess, getting brought up in, where you second guess yourself and it's like, okay, well, this isn't really the norm. Like, I've just done all this study for all this time. Yeah. Why would I step out of that, you know, when I put all my time and energy into that? And I know for me, that was a really big thing when I finished my business degree, but, you know, towards the end, I was like, I really want to be a personal trainer, you know, and then I really want to do something and start my own business. That is something I had to really push past.
Yeah.
Was, I guess, not doubting myself, but breaking through probably the fear of what other people would think. So for you, Kimberly, did you have a fear of like what your parents would think, or, you know, what your friends or anyone else around you, would they question you and be like, hey, it's going to work or not?
Yes, 100%. And what's really important is that when I first, so my first year that I was building the business was my second, no, was it my second? No, my third year in my last bachelor degree. And I remember keeping it quiet for my parents because I didn't want them to think and get worried that I was not going to study and that I was just going to try and build a business that they were fearful of was going to fail. And I'm really careful with who I share my, like, my secrets, not my secrets, my goals with, all of my secrets. but I'm mindful with who I share my goals with, because you want to share them with people who see that with you, you know? You can't just share them with people who are going to tear you down, because here's the thing, you're going to find people who support you and you're going to find people who are going to challenge you. And if you are starting something that's brand new and you go straight to the people who are going to challenge you, you're going to lose that momentum and that belief and that faith that you had in yourself from the beginning. So I kept it from my parents, and my mom knew a little bit about it. My dad just thought I was having fun with this blog. And then at the end of the first year, when I had created a six-figure business, I told them, and I was like, hey guys, like, this is actually working for me. And then they had nothing to say about it. They were just like, okay, you do you. And so I'm a firm believer that it's often because majority of the world is brought up on a Newtonian-based thinking, which is like you choose things based on what you see, right? Yeah. So you need to speak in their values, because not everybody realizes, oh yeah, I got faith in you. You got to show them the results before they'll believe you. Often, unfortunately, that's the case. And so that's what I chose to do with my family, just to, so they didn't have to worry, you know? So yeah, but friends wise, at the time, I also only shared it with a certain amount of people. And then when I was ready to, I created like a Facebook page and I invited everybody. I was just like, you know what, stuff it. They can all find out I'm doing this, and I didn't care. So yeah, I think that's been my journey with it, but it definitely was challenging.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, at the start, it was kind of the same, because the first thing for me was releasing my podcast. And I remember it took me, I think, like 6 months from getting my microphone from Amazon to actually recording an episode, because I was like, oh my God, like, everyone knows I'm such a chatterbox, but like, I'm actually putting this on a platform. Like, and I remember recording my very first podcast episode and I didn't put it anywhere. I didn't put it on my Instagram. I didn't put it on my Facebook. I think I literally told like two of my friends, and I was like, oh shit, this is so nerve-wracking. And then I think I did like the next week, and someone found it and they messaged me on Instagram. They were like, Jess, like, you have a podcast? Like, this is amazing. And I'm like thinking, oh, okay. And I was like, cute. I was like, stuff it. And I just started posting it on my Instagram and all of that. So I think that's really important. And I'm like you. I pick and choose, not in a bad way, about like picking and choosing who you tell things to, but I think it's important to be very, very aware of the time and energy you give and you get from people. And you know, there's always, like you said, there's always going to be people in your life you do need to keep an arm's length distance.
Yeah.
Because they don't align with your values. Mm-hmm. They don't understand where you're coming from. And, you know, it's scary, especially your family as well. You know, it's scary to say, okay, like you said, your dad thought you were just doing this blog for fun. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, no, this has helped me get to a six-figure business. And I think, you know, it's important to keep, be honest with yourself and have integrity with yourself with what you're doing. But yeah, always, I guess, be aware at the start there, just be mindful that there are people who will be there and they will tear you down because they're not at that level or because they may be jealous, and it can be friends and family.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's what makes it so difficult, because we have such close ties to these people. But sometimes you need to understand that, you know, these people are only going, they only love you, right? In an ideal situation, they only want to help you. And so anything that they're also saying to kind of, that might seem like they're bringing you down, is only because they care about you and they don't want you to be hurt. But sometimes you know better. And I think it's up to us to choose if we're going to listen to what we know versus someone else who's not ourselves, you know?
Yes, that's so true. So your first product was an ebook you had, Habits for Wellness. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So I want you to tell the story of first releasing that. And I know who it was, but who your first customer was.
Okay. So Habits for Wellness is pretty much, it's this, my first ebook program that I ever created. It's like a 21-day reboot. It's still bought by many women and still used by many women to transform their lives from being mundane to start to implement some habits that are going to help you live a different life, right? And I remember working so hard to make this perfect because it was my first thing ever. What you realize is after you do business, nothing is ever perfect. Yes. You often, if you launch when it's perfect, you launched too late, right? We always hear that. So
yep.
I put it out there. And the first person to buy it was my boyfriend, Byam. And I just thought that was really sweet of him because he didn't tell me he was going to do that. But I remember then I could always say he was my first ever purchase, aww, you know, my first ever client ever. So, yeah, it's still so close to my heart, that program, though.
I love that. I love that. And I think it's so important because, you know, I see a lot of the time that, and I can hear in your voice how much gratitude you have for that, which we all know is just the absolute foundation for manifestations. But I think it's really important to be so grateful that, you know, if you were starting a business or you're starting something and you sell one of your product, or it's a family member or your boyfriend or your girlfriend who buys it, you should still have that gratitude.
Of course. Right?
Because I've seen people and I've heard, you know, they've launched a product, whether it's an ebook or, you know, a coaching or something like that, whatever it may be, a product base, and they've only sold one thing, or the person who bought it was a friend, and I've literally seen this on social media where someone's been like, oh, but it doesn't count because that was my friend. And I'm like, no, if you can't be grateful now for that one purchase, even if it's from a friend, you can't bring in more.
Exactly. Yes. It's so important that, like, I feel that we kind of look for ways to discredit ourselves because we're scared to be successful or we're scared to really step into our full power. And so we kind of say, oh, you know, it was my friend, so that we can hide still. But meanwhile, the universe is like, yo, start to just get out there, just bloom, like stop keeping yourself in your cocoon when you should be flying.
Yes, that's so true. Why do you think we as human beings get scared of success, even though success and abundance, I guess, even though we do want that? Why do you think we get scared of it?
It's such a good question. And in my own eyes, it's because it's still unknown, right? So usually when we desire to succeed in something, it's because we haven't already achieved that, right? That's why we seek it. It's outside of ourselves. And often we seek something that's outside. And so our brain will operate in a way where it still prioritizes familiarity over the unknown. And unfortunately, success is unknown. Unfortunately, success and also failure, I mean, there's different degrees of it, but it's different to our comfort zone, right? So in my own eyes, I remember being so scared of success as well, because I thought I was going to lose who I was. I thought I was going to become a different person. And that was the truth. Like, I was going to lose who I was and become a new person, but I needed to tell myself that I was going to love that person just as much as who I already was, and that that new person wasn't less of me, but more of me. So I think that was really important as well.
Oh, I love that. It's so true. We get scared to become this next version or this different level of us. And it's like, yeah, I've definitely had those thoughts where I'm like, okay, I'm going to lose who I am. But you put it perfectly. Like, you are still you, but you're just like the up level
version
of yourself. Yes, yes. I love that. Okay, so let's get into the nitty gritty. You are a manifestation coach, first of all, but I know that you've been putting on your socials that you have manifested everything you put on your first vision board.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that because, you know, you work hard, but you still have fun. I'm not going to tell your story, but I just want you to share with everyone your vision board and the things you've done and what you've achieved in that level of Kimberly.
Thank you. Okay, so this vision board was something I created at the start of 2018, and I felt crazy making it because there were some things here that I was like, there is no way this is happening. Yeah. So for instance, there was a Tesla on there. There was Gabby Bernstein on there, like working with Gabby Bernstein. There was New York on there. There was Europe on there. There was my dream home on there. There was, a puppy and financial abundance on there. So many things on there. And I remember literally, you guys might don't even realize how big it felt of a transformation for me, because you don't know where it started, but this is where it started. I was literally sitting in this cluttered, tiny room in my parents' house, like shit everywhere, like shit under my desk. Like, if you've been on my feed or if you've been following me for a while, you might have seen there's this Polaroid picture that I have with me sitting with this desk and there's just crap everywhere. And So basically, I was studying full time. I was tutoring. I was working this, you know, a really crappy waitressing job being paid $10 an hour and, you know, just really, really far, far from this dream life that I wanted. And little by little, I've worked towards it. Little by little, every single day, I've just focused on my top priorities. Little by little, I started to achieve and manifest abundance and manifest certain milestones along the way. And so much so that just so you know, when I made the vision board, I thought it was going to take about 5 to 10 years to manifest everything on this, because I would have had to graduate, I would have had to study another 1.5 years and then become an osteo and then get into a clinic and then make money and then and save up for all these different things. I ended up collapsing. I'm like speechless right now because I'm just also, every time I just won't forget the gratitude that I have for this. But within 2.5 years, everything came true. I went and I traveled the world in 2019. I went all through Europe. Every single place that I had on that vision board, I visited. I also went to New York. I worked with Gabby Bernstein in 2018, like literally in the SWAT vac period of my uni studies. Like, so the week that they give you to study for exams, I flew to New York within those 7 days and back. And I worked with her and I came back. And then, you know, now I've got the Tesla, now I've got the puppy, but this is all well and good. But I only say this to show everybody that you might have a dream life that you think is 10 years away, 5 years away. But if you truly understand how to manifest your life intentionally, you can collapse time beyond what you even think is possible. You can have your dream life within 2 years. You can start living it now and you can start feeling like you're making and building momentum towards that reality rather than getting down and feeling like it's so far away. So that's why I do what I do, because it's about collapsing time and helping women to empower themselves to create their realities just the way they desire.
Girl, like, we can stop the podcast here because I'm hyped up. I'm hyped up for the week. I'm like, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get everything that's on my vision board. I think, yeah. No, honestly, like, it's just so amazing to see. And as I've said at the start, like, guys, I have been following Kimberly for like 2-3 years now. And like, she shares her story on her IG stories, plus her podcast. That's where I first started, you know, listening to her and understanding her story. And it's such an amazing moment for me to see, because I've followed your story, Kimberly, and it's great. And like, one of my things is like, I want to be coached by her, and you know, I want to have her on my podcast, and like, here I am with this, and I'm just like a little bit like starstruck, because I'm like, this is amazing. You know, I think it's so true to note that you can absolutely, you know, and I share this with my clients too, you can absolutely achieve what you desire and what reality you want. But
yeah,
what would you say, out of everything, I know there's a lot, and I know with every course that you give and every mentorship, you pack a lot of value, you do. But what would you say, I don't know, 3 to 5 tips over the past few years that have really helped you, you know, whether it's discipline or whether it's a certain manifestation technique, what have really helped you get to this place?
Yes. Okay. So there are so many things, but let me drill it down to as the main things that I think are really important. Okay. So the first thing that I think I need to say, whether it's a tip or whether it's just like a mindset understanding that we all have, is that it feels like you're not moving. Like on a daily basis, you feel like you're not doing anything. However, you gotta remember that everything adds up, and you have to remember that everything is just an accumulation of what you've done in the past. So even though in one day it feels like you've done nothing, it feels like you've tried to get followers on Instagram, or you've tried to do a podcast, or you've tried to write a blog or whatever, you got to understand that tomorrow you're going to keep on building on what you did yesterday. And so what I would say is that it feels on a daily basis, even though I've manifested my entire vision board within 2.5 years, it felt like I wasn't moving like on a day-to-day basis. So I want you to understand that it didn't feel like boom, boom, boom every single day just because I was, you know, working towards this. It still felt like a snail pace kind of vibe, right? So that's the first thing I would say, because a lot of people have this misconception that they're not doing enough and that they've got so much more to do. But as long as you – okay, so this is probably the main takeaway for this first point. As long as you feel like you're not doing enough, you're going to attract more troubles. You're going to attract feeling like – and you are going to attract not doing enough. So you need to feel as though you have achieved enough at the end of the day, no matter how small or big your actions were. So I made an effort at the end of every single day. Even if all of me wanted to say, oh my God, you're so crap, you didn't do this and you didn't do that, I could obviously beat myself down, but I chose to just be grateful for what I did. And I would say to the universe, dear universe, please amplify my actions. I know that I'm capable of not just good results, but extraordinary results. So please help me to amplify my actions and do for me what I can't do for myself. I think that's a huge number one thing that I did. Does that make sense though, Jess?
Yes, yes, 100% that makes sense. And I think because I had a moment like this, it was about probably the start of this month where I had a memory pop up on my Instagram, and it was the day that I actually moved to Bali. And with all this COVID and stuff, and you know, we've had this in our private phone calls, but you know, I was saying like, feels like, you know, sometimes it's not enough. But then I looked back and I'm like, holy shit. In that past year, that past 365 days, I have done a shitload. And if I had just had the attitude, like after a few months, like, oh, this isn't working, or like it's going so slow, and I just stopped, or I didn't work on my dreams every single day, I wouldn't be where I am now.
Yeah.
So I cannot, and I say this to my clients, I say this to, you know, my podcast listeners, my followers as well, is like, do something every day that is going to get you to your desired reality. Yeah. Even if right now you finish the day or you finish the week and you're like, oh, it just feels like I haven't gotten anywhere. Because I promise you, if I had kept that attitude, and I'm sure you agree, Kimberly, you keep that attitude, like, you are going to attract nothing. You are going to attract, you know, what you don't want. And it's so true. So yes, I love that point.
Awesome. So my second point would be, there is never a perfect time, right? Like, we always think, okay, I will do this when I have my good laptop, or I'll do this when I've got a good camera, or I will do this when I feel emotionally ready. But I always made a decision to, whether it was like hire a mentor, read a book or whatever, not based on when I felt ready, but based on literally what my heart was telling me. So if my heart was telling me, read this book, join this course, work with this person, listen to this podcast, I would listen to it, right? And the other thing is, I would never let money be a reason for saying no. So if it was like I felt like I needed to invest into something to find out how to build a business or how to manifest or whatever, like I wouldn't let money be a reason to stop me, because money is a renewable resource, but time is a finite resource. So those are two different things there as well. And then the third thing is, messy inspired action got me here 100%. So even if it felt like I needed to do a podcast, but Bai and I were traveling in Europe, so I would literally record it on my phone in the car whilst we were like in Scotland. I remember this. We were in the car on this really rockety road and I just recorded it because we were going to drive for 3 hours. So messy inspired action, and also doing things before you're ready. And then the fourth thing that I would say is so important is, I always sought after the truth about manifestation, right? Because I wanted to know what the manifestation process was. And as long as you're just hearing things in the air, like, oh, do the 555 method, or just write what you want in your journal, or affirm, or visualize, if you don't have a specific backing behind your understanding, then you never really know for sure if it's going to actually help you, right? So I was always like, okay, let me just look at this tool and let me see, does this actually fit with the truth about manifestation? Do I feel like I can be happy all the time? Because so many people say, you know, be happy and that's what's going to attract your goals. And part of me, my intuition said, that's not the entire truth, because we have different emotions. We also feel sad. So I think an important part for any other human being is also realizing the truth of how you create your reality and being careful with what you consume. So yeah, that's like four things so far, but I could do another, like a fifth one, but Jess, what do you think?
Yes, no, I love that. And what I just want to, you can share a fifth one, but I just on that point that you said,
yeah,
seeking out the truth of manifestation, which is so, so true. And I know I brought this up the other day, but I want you just to insert the story of when, I think it was when you read The Secret and you thought you had to be happy all the time.
Yeah.
Because I love this story. And
oh,
it's
my
just,
God.
It's so true. It's so true.
Yes. Okay. So I think it wasn't even The Secret that I had read. It was the that book. Yeah. So
yep.
It's actually by Abraham Hicks. And I'm saying all of this stuff is important because when you start to listen to like the KW kind of philosophy/principles, you'll realize that like everything is needed. So I'm not saying that there's one thing that's good or bad. I'm just saying that there's the truth and there's also the not so true thing, right? So I was basically reading this book called Ask and It Is Given. And within it, it said, okay, joy attracts your desires. Joy attracts your desires because you're a high vibration. And I was like, this sounds awesome. So just like when I went on a vegan diet saying, this is awesome. Like, obviously everybody's diets are different. And I think if you're vegan, that's awesome for you. If it works for you, amazing, right? But for me, it didn't work for me. Same thing with this, with what I was learning from this book. And it was like, okay, joy is the answer. So I was like, okay, joy is the answer. Let me do this. So for 3 days, I was like, I'm joyful, I'm joyful, I'm joyful, I am joyful. And I was like holding on to like stuffing myself up into this joyful vibration, right? And I was like, joy, 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 living and breathing joy. And so much so, I just felt so like literally like I had to hold myself up there, right? After 3 days, I had a huge crash. I was like, wha-pam! Like I couldn't stay up there and I felt sad. I felt frustrated. I felt grumpy. If anyone came near me, I was going to bite their head off because I was just so grumpy, right? And so low. And so even in that moment, I went through a huge high and then I went through a huge low to balance me out. And what I always say in terms of manifestation, in terms of mindset, is you are always going to move towards balance. You can't be happy all the time. We know this, right? Like we have all tried to be happy all the time at some point in our lives, whether we've tried to stay happy for a friend or for ourselves, and we didn't do it. So the nature of us as humans isn't to be happy all the time. It's to go through all these different emotions and to create our dream lives, but to find a way to use and leverage all those emotions so that we're still moving towards our manifestations. And when you subscribe to a model of manifestation that's talking about joy, you leave half of your emotions out and you're not leveraging your whole life experience. You're only leveraging when you're joyful, which is half of the time, right? So that's kind of like the beginning of that all.
yes. Love that, because it's bloody exhausting being happy all the time. Mm-hmm. Like you just, mm-hmm. you cannot, no matter what, like you can't. And it's true. You need to balance those emotions. And I think what I've seen as well, you know, as I've learned things myself about manifestation, I've learned things from you, is people truly believe, and it's what's been put out there, of course, and what people consume, that to be able to attract and manifest what you want in your life, you just have to be happy. Like you're not allowed to, you know, sit in fear or, you know, be sad or angry or anything.
Yeah.
So I guess my question to you is, when you are, you have these manifestation goals and you're trying to attract something into your life, what would you do when you are, I guess, having a day where you're really sad or you're really angry or you're fearful? You're like, oh no, you're doubting yourself. Like, I don't know if I can manifest this. And I'm sure when you were manifesting your vision board indirectly, you probably had those moments where you're like, wow, I don't actually know if I can get this.
Yes. Okay. So would you say that that question is aimed around like what you do when you feel sad / out of it, or when you feel like you can't have it, or both?
Both. I would say both.
Okay. Yeah. So let me start with the emotion part, right? So I think that so speaking about how we said like joy, there's the model of joy when it comes to manifestation. And in that model, a lot of people will say, a lot of leaders will say, well, the sadness and the other emotions are just for contrast. But why? Like, no, it's not just for contrast. Like, that would be like saying that vegetables are for contrast, like on the other side of meat. Like, no, vegetables are also nutrients, right? So it's the same thing with emotions. Like, you're going to go through different emotions, and it's not just contrast. It serves you to a degree. And the sad moments, the low moments, are times when we are challenged. They're times when we're learning. We're in a growth period, right? So we need to understand that even when we feel sad, even when we feel low, in that moment in my own life, I always ask myself, what am I learning here? What's the lesson here? So that I don't feel like that pain was felt for nothing, and so that I actually realize that the universe is trying to teach me something so that I can handle my manifestation when it comes along. So anytime that you're feeling low, just ask yourself the question, what am I learning here? If you had a fight with your boyfriend, or if you got fired, what is the lesson there? Is it because you weren't disciplined enough? Is it because you know that you want to start a business instead? Is it because you weren't honoring yourself and you didn't have boundaries? You need to look at what the lesson is. Now, as for whether you believe you can have it or not, there's so many different things around this, but this is why I think it's so important to set goals that you know are a little bit further than what you can achieve, but you know, but setting multiple. So instead of just having one big goal, break it down into three different elements. So it could be, the first degree is, I know for sure I can hit it. Done it before, easy. The second goal might be a little bit of a stretch, but you're like, no, I can still hit it. And your third goal can be your ultimate goal. So, you know, I mean, it's different for different kind of things, but for money, if you want to have a 10K month, then you can set it as like your first goal is 3,000, your second goal is 5,000, and then your third goal is 10,000. So does that kind of answer the question?
Yeah, I think that's really important to know. And, you know, out of all of that, I think the biggest takeaway is to surrender that you're going to feel both emotions, and it's okay, because, you know, there's just a lot of people who just think it's not okay. Like, okay, I'm trying to manifest $5,000 into my life, but, you know, I can't have an angry day, or I can't have a sad day, because that's going to push it away completely. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's very important to note. I love that. That's a great explanation. Yeah. I took notes myself.
Hey, that's awesome. But to add to what you just said, Jess, you know how you said like to surrender and feel both feelings? The reason why it's so important, and I think this is something that we need to mention today, is that the highest vibration isn't joy, and what creates your desires isn't joy, it's actually gratitude. And gratitude can be created from positive emotions, but also negative emotions. Like, you can feel grateful that you, like, that you had a falling out with a friend or a breakup because you learned what you needed to, and you can actually turn that really painful situation into feeling and realizing the beauty and the perfection in what happened because you learned what you needed to, right? So this is why this model of gratitude being the creator is so much more wholesome and so much, much more profound than the model of joy when it comes to manifestation.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, having one thing that I've picked up from you since coaching with you is definitely not just, you know, understanding gratitude, but actually feeling into it and really taking that in and soaking into it and not just knowing it, not just acknowledging it and being like, yeah, I'm grateful for this. Or, you know, when you're manifesting, you know, I'm grateful this has happened. It's actually feeling into it. And it makes such a difference. And I know everyone listening now, like, and I've said this to my clients too, it's important to, yeah, don't just acknowledge gratitude. Mm-hmm. Don't just be like, I'm grateful. Like, you need to sit with that feeling. You need to be able to feel that as often as possible. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, basically, in my day, I'm choosing to feel gratitude at least once every 2 hours. Like, at least. Like, that's an active thing that I do. And I'll reflect and I'll use the manifestation method, which is literally like everything you would need, every single element you would need to manifest during the day. And so much of that is on the foundation of you need to feel that gratitude. You can't just be like, oh yeah, like I get it in my mind, but I'm not feeling it. So 100%.
Yes. Yes. I agree. You know, you're a busy woman, just like myself, and we had a little chat about this before we got on here, but how do you, I guess, you know, divide your time because, you know, you have a puppy who Blue takes up a lot of your time. And everyone, I will be putting all Kimberly's details in the show notes below so you can go stalk her. But yes, the puppy called Blue. He's so cute. Your boyfriend's just moved in. And I also know that for anyone that isn't aware, in Australia, Victoria is in a pretty hard lockdown at the moment.
Yeah.
So I know that you're pretty much confined to your apartment unless you go for a walk or whatever. But, you know, how are you finding that balance of being a businesswoman, hitting your goals, but also having that time to yourself, having that time with your partner, having that time with your dog? How do you find that you juggle it all?
Yeah, and I think this is the perfect timing for you to ask me this because this week is where I'm being especially challenged because it's a really like really full week, and the way that I'm planning on doing it and the way that I've also done it in the past to deal with this is that I have a hard stop at some point during the evening where I'm just like, okay, no more business, right? So I'll literally put everything for business usually it's between 11 and around maybe 5 or 6, right? Everything is just packed in there. And it doesn't mean that I'm like not on socials at all. I might, you know, do a quick story at 8 o'clock or something, or I might just reply a DM at some point if I feel like it. But I think you need to have that time where you just dedicate it to you living your life, because when ultimately we're not doing business or we're not aiming to work on a hamster wheel. We're doing this so we can live our dream lives. And so if you're not living at the same time, you're not doing what you ultimately aimed to do, right? So I think it's really important that you have that time. And I also usually, up until now, it's like my weekends are like not work oriented. It's just me living my life. Up until recently, it's changed a little bit just because with business, you also have to kind of adapt. So sometimes I might have a weekday off instead of the weekend just to fit with my schedule. So yeah, I think it's really important to have boundaries on when you're going to do certain things. And like I said, my workday only begins at 11, never earlier than that, because before then it's just me time, journaling, meditating, having breakfast, shower, you know. So yeah.
I love that. And how long have you had that boundary for where it's like, nope, 11 a.m. for me, that's the start of my workday? Because I know, and this is maybe a mainstream way of thinking that people may adopt, you know, you get into the habit where it's like, okay, you wake up early, you start work at like 8, 9 a.m. and you go from there. How have you adopted that as your routine and boundary and stuck to that?
So this is so good. And I want to be completely honest, and I'm going to say that I haven't always stuck to this. Like sometimes I do work until like 8 o'clock, or sometimes I can't sleep and I wake and I'm working till like 4 a.m., which is like, you guys probably think I'm crazy, but it's just, I'm such a night owl, right? But I think, right? So I remember hearing this on someone's podcast. I think it was I can't remember, but it was ages ago, maybe 2 years ago now. And they were like, we only start work at 11 a.m. And I was like, wait, why didn't I just do that? Like, it's so silly. Everything is so arbitrary. So that from about 2 years ago, that's when I've made the decision, never earlier than that. And then in terms of how long I've stuck to it, you know, it's changed also because when I was traveling, and now it's the most consistent it's ever been because I'm actually living in one spot.
Yeah. Did you struggle with that when you were traveling?
So much. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So much, because, you know, you'd have a train to catch at 5 a.m. in Italy, or you'd have like a plane to catch at 3 a.m. or whatever. And it was always all over the place. But having said that, I could see as so much of this being so powerful to grow, because that year I had a huge year as well. Like my income increased from the previous year, even though I was doing all this travel, even though I was spending time going out and doing touristy things, but also living and running a business. So even though it felt like I had so much less time on the business, I still increased my income, which was crazy to me. And I believe that it's because I was just intentional with it. I just got it done. And it also gives me perspective now when I'm at home, realizing that I don't have to be spending every single second awake on my business. It's safe to live your life.
Yes. I think that's a powerful message as well, because I've definitely had this conversation with you where I'm like, I have felt stressed because I've gone out for like a breakfast and I'm like, okay, I have to do this. I have to, you know, get home. I have to reply to these DMs. And it's so true. Like, we didn't get in to what we're doing to live a life like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we wanted more freedom and more time effectively. Mm-hmm. And I think that attitude for me, like adopting that attitude, has really helped me as well. And, you know, this morning I knew that I had this 10 a.m. my time for you. So I thought, you know what, I'm not going to start work. I'm going to go for a walk with my dog. I'm going to have a nice coffee, chill, and then I will do the podcast interview and I'll start work from there.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, and I definitely have been in the mindset where I'm like, oh, Monday morning, shit, I need to start early. I need to get everything done, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, this has worked so much better for me. So I think, yes, it's great to establish that. But like we've also discussed, is having discipline and realizing, and that's something that I want, because I want us to touch on too, is noticing when you are being lazy and when you need to have discipline. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on that? And how have you, I guess, got through that?
Yeah. Okay. So lazy versus when I need to be disciplined. Okay. I think that the main thing is I believe that everything I talk about is like a balance of the woo, but also with strategy. So the woo part in this is that I always listen to my intuition and my heart. So if I feel like I'm in the middle of a launch, or I'm in the middle of telling people about a program that I'm holding, and I feel like on a Sunday night I want to do a live, I'm going to use discipline to listen to my heart and go and do that live. Because that live could turn into helping someone realize that I can help them, and me being able to help them change their life, right? And also receive in abundance in exchange, right? So I think that when it comes to using discipline, the way that I see it is, and I'll have phases, okay? Here's the thing. You need to, from the get-go, realize you're not always going to be disciplined. You need to understand that. So that you don't have this unrealistic expectation that for the rest of your life, you're going to be disciplined. Because what happens is when you're not disciplined, you're going to be like, oh, shit, I failed. And then you're going to get into a cycle of self-sabotage. So you need to, from the beginning, know that, okay, I know that this comes in waves. I know that this is a seasonal thing. And so I will have seasons where, okay, I'm like, let me be super disciplined with my schedule. 11 to 6 is when I work, and I have breaks in between, and I have Fridays off or whatever, and I'll just get into it. And I think the discipline comes in as well, writing out the top five things that I need to do that day and getting it done. So making sure that I'm actually scheduling it, making sure I've got time for it, being really realistic with it, but then also asking the universe to amplify all of those results. So do you have an example, actually, Jess, on when you feel it's hard to apply discipline or where you feel it's most challenging?
Yeah, I think for me, it would probably be I said this one to you. A couple of weeks ago, I took a break for a week from the podcast. And I know intuitively that I needed to take that break. I knew yes. that I wasn't feeling inspired, and I knew that I wasn't. And I said this to all of you listening to the podcast, like, I'm never just going to record for the sake of it when I have shitty energy behind that. Mm. I never want to vocalize that, never. But then I said to you, it's so easy to be like, okay, that's nice. I had a break. I had a refresher. You know, I'm feeling pumped. I'm feeling good. I have ideas. I have good energy around this. But then it's so easy to get to the next week and be like, okay, maybe I should just take one more week, you know, yeah. and kind of talk yourself out of it and say, you know, I'm feeling good, but maybe if I take one more week rest, you know, that's a 2-week break. I can brainstorm some more ideas. Yeah. But then it's like, okay, no, are you just making excuses?
Yeah.
And do you need to practice discipline here? And I think that's that was a big one that's happened recently for me.
Yeah. Okay. So in that moment, this is how I would kind of like dissect the energy of what just happened. It's like you were listening to your heart to take that week off, right? But more than likely, and I could even hear this in your voice when you were speaking, once you got to the end of the week and you said, okay, well, let me just do this again. There's a part of you where your yeah. heart was like, no, it's go time again. And the discipline is to listen to that and to apply yes. that knowledge. Does that
make yes, sense? Yes. And I think it's important to listen to that part of you
yes.
that where you're trying to speak, talk yourself out of it, but you can hear that part, like you can feel it where it's like, no, Jess, mm-hmm. like you need to do this. Like you need to become disciplined in this. And, you know, it's important because when you were, and you would know this, when you were building a business or you were starting anything, this can apply to all areas of life, you need to practice discipline. It's so easy for you and I, because we work for ourselves, to wake up today on a Monday and just be like, oh, you know what? I'll just fit all of today's work in, you know, in throughout the week. Like, why don't I just take today off? Like, I've earned it. I've worked so hard on the weekend, or I worked so hard last week. But it's realistically, you know, we're not at that point where it's like, okay, well, yeah, I've been slaving away for hours and hours on end for weeks and weeks. I should take this Monday off. That, I believe, is trying to talk yourself out of being disciplined.
Yes.
And because, you know, working for yourself, that's one struggle that I've kind of had, I guess, in the sense of, you know, we're very flexible with our time. We can do things on our clock, which I love. And this is one of the reasons why I started my own business, to be my own boss, but to have the flexibility of to create my schedule. But it's really questioning yourself, like, am I being lazy or am I making the right choice? And as we said at the start, to align with your values, like, is this aligning with my values? Is this really bringing me further to where I want to get to?
Exactly. I love that so much.
Yeah. So, you know, that's one thing like I keep in mind. And yeah, I think it's so important to always practice the discipline part, but you know, listen to your intuition, mm-hmm. listen to your heart, what really needs to be done and what's really being said. So yeah, I think that's really important. Thank you for those tips. As we finish off, I want to ask you three questions.
Mm-hmm.
So my first question to you, what is your favorite book you have read or are currently reading?
My favorite book I've read. Is it fictional or non-fictional?
It can be any.
Well, Harry Potter.
Amen. I kind of had a feeling you were going to say that.
Wait, yeah. Is that the wrong answer? Did you want me to give you like
no.
Okay.
No, if that's your favorite book, that's the right answer, because that's my favorite book of all time.
Well, which one of the seven?
Oh, I'm gonna have to say either Goblet of Fire,
yes,
or Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Oh, yes. Okay, I see.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. What's your favorite one?
Well, movie and books are different, but book wise. Yeah. I would say, weirdly, I really like the fifth one. I really like the fifth one. Because it's like, it's really micro. You know everything about their life.
I agree with you on that. I like it for that reason because you like really find out a lot,
you
right?
You really live in that land. But movie-wise, people can think I'm weird. I watch every single one on a different day. Like, I'll go through the cycles and I have it on Apple TV because I rewatch it that often.
I love that, me too.
Don't you? Yeah, it's
all the time. It's my go-to.
Yes. Oh, I love it.
Yeah, me too. You can't go wrong with Harry Potter,
right?
You really can't. Yeah. This next question, it's kind of two-tiered. So when you were traveling, what was your favorite place / when Australia can travel again, where do you think your next place will be or where do you want to go?
Oh, I like this question. Okay, well, this is really hard because I went to like 20 different destinations, which I'm so grateful for. But to bring it down to one is so difficult. But okay, can I do three? I'll do three.
Okay, you can do three.
So I loved Edinburgh in Scotland. It's like it's like a Scottish Melbourne, but you live in Harry Potter. I love that. And then Paris, oh my god, it was so amazing. Like, it just did, I can't even do justice to how it felt to see all these places like the Louvre and the Eiffel Tower in the flesh. Like, that was crazy. To Paris. And then my third one would be, I would have to say Rome. Oh my god, I loved Rome as well.
I want to go to Rome.
It's so cliche, but like every single place I like think of a movie, like Rome, I think of Lizzie McGuire.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, so funny.
So true. I love that. Yeah. And where do you want to travel as soon as we can?
Okay, so I think I would say south of France. I didn't go to south of France, and I didn't do the Amalfi Coast. So, nice. I mean, that's Europe again, but also Japan. I really want – I've been to Japan twice. Yeah, yep. But I want to go back, yeah.
Nice. I love that. Yes, good answers. And then my very last question to finish us off is, what is your best piece of, I guess, business/life advice? Like, what would you say to someone starting or someone who is unsure of themselves?
If they're starting or they're unsure of themselves, you got to realize everything is already within you, and that anything you invest in to learn new things, it was like you know all that stuff. You're just unlocking it.
Yes, amen to that. I love that piece of advice, and I'm definitely going to remember that. Mm-hmm. So, Kimberly, why don't you share how people can find you? You have your own podcast. I know you're midst of launching a program or have just launched. So why don't you give us a rundown of how we can work with you and listen to you?
Totally. So if you loved what Jess and I were talking about today, I've got my own podcast called the Kimberly Wenya Podcast. We chat all things mindset and manifestation. We talk about science behind manifestation. You'll literally hear episodes from when I first began. So like when I was in my little room, even in my grandpa's closet, trying to record a podcast, all the way up until most recent times. And that's on iTunes and Spotify. And then I'm really active on Instagram. So you can come and follow me over at Kimberly Wenya. We do daily manifestation tips, any free challenges, free masterclasses, which we do quite often. You'll hear about it over there. And then we're always running something really exciting. So I would just stay tuned on my Instagram.
Yes, definitely go give her a follow, go give her a listen, and start from the start with Kimberly's podcast episodes, because honestly, I'm so grateful that I found her, and it's great to hear the transition of where she was to where she is now. It's been great, and I'm forever grateful that I've been able to coach with her and she's on the podcast. So thank you so much, Kimberly.
Thank you, Jess. Thanks for having me. This was so fun, and I'm so honored and just so grateful I get to work with you.
I know. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'll speak to you soon.
Bye.